Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. It's WEEI, Boston Sports Original. Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart here with you until just before 6 o'clock, and we have a packed show for you today. And we're going to be getting into this right away here. The situation with Jeremy Swayman reaching a boiling point. Camp opens today. Sweeney talked at 12 noon. Rich Keefe left the studio a conquering hero after winning the scoop off, and here we are. Jeremy Swayman, no deal. And it doesn't sound like they're close. Doesn't sound like they're really close at all when you hear words like December 1st getting thrown around. That sounds like they are still hip deep in this negotiation. What are the Bruins doing is where I want to start with this right now, because I really thought that we were going to hear the opposite. I heard Courtney Scoop this morning. I heard people talking last night about there being some news coming down the pipe very soon here, names that I generally trust. I heard and read all of that, and I assumed, all right, finally, either the Bruins came up to what Swayman was really looking for when he asked for $10 million, or Swayman decided, all right, I'll take six or seven or whatever lowball offer the Bruins, according to Spittin' Chicklets, which Don Sweeney vigorously denied today. Whatever offer we got from them, we'll end up taking. Instead, nothing. The standoff continues. And here we go. The Bruins now going into camp with Corpusalo, with Brandon Bussey, who's been in Providence a few years now, and I don't know who else, not Jeremy Swayman. What are the Bruins doing, Andy Hart?
Well, they're certainly creating a bit of a chaotic feeling among people who weren't familiar with the NHL calendar. Because when he says December 1st, that struck everybody, correct?
Right. Yep.
Like that was, excuse me, did you say December 1st? We're in September and there's October and November in between. Big
right.
day, by the way. If you check the schedule, Sunday, December 1st, they host the Canadiens.
Ooh.
3 o'clock.
Well, that's really
exciting.
That's a
hell of a game to return.
13 years ago, but yes, that's a very, very exciting.
But, no, like, I'm not – that is a date on the NHL calendar
mm-hmm.
where you have to sign or you can't play.
Right.
The season's over. And that's why he threw it out there. I don't think most people knew that. I think most people – we're like, why does he keep saying that date? Because he said it multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger issue is we went from this morning to, oh, done deal report, right? Coco's got the report,
right.
Done deal, to he doesn't seem optimistic. He's disappointed in himself, which I can appreciate.
I thought that was a very self-aware way of looking
yeah.
at that. You know, like I wasn't expecting him to come out and say, I failed as a general manager and not getting this deal done. That was surprising. I was kind of impressed by that.
And
honestly.
He admitted it's a priority. Yeah. It was like top of his to-do list,
right.
obviously. I mean, it should be atop his to-do list. And disappointed that he's not getting it done. You know what worried me, too, is when he started to talk about the other goalies and led with, did you notice who he led with?
Corp.
Bussey.
Corp, oh, he led with Bussey? I didn't notice the order there, yeah.
He went with the veteran, and it felt to me, again, I'm just reading this from afar,
mm-hmm.
felt like the veteran was Bailey Zappi. And I was like, wait, why are you going with the young guy? Like, is that your Joe Milton? Are you in love with him? Like, what are we doing here? Like, there's because that's the other thing. They have confidence in the room.
Right.
First of all, you can't have confidence in the room. One guy was the worst goalie in hockey last year. The other guy's never played a game. How the hell can you have confidence in the room?
Because you have
the coach
to,
is
you
good.
You have to say that, and that's why I
asked. Goalie Bob's been here for 20 years, and yes, he's got a good track record.
Sure, fine, but does he have a good track record with guys other than Tim Thomas and Tuukka Rask?
Well,
and now, you know,
yeah.
Linus Ullmark, who won the Vezina. I mean, listen, there were guys who I think he elevated, but he never had to take an unproven rookie who's never played in the NHL and the worst goalie ever and turn them into something. Like, that's never been part of his purview when it's come to Goalie Bob and what he does. And that's why I ask, what the hell are they doing? They have given away all all their leverage. They traded it all away. They've already fostered this environment with Jeremy Swayman that's kind of toxic, if you ask me. There's no reason that they shouldn't have gotten this done by now. And now here they are trying to act like they have leverage and they have confidence in their room. Of course they don't have confidence in their room. How could they have confidence in that room? That's like the Mayo coming out there saying, yeah, we got great confidence in our offensive line and our wide receivers. You know you don't. You know that's a lie. And there's no way Swayman's people are buying that. I mean, they may end up having to do that because they only have so much money. Like, they only really have so much money in cap space that they can even afford to offer him in total without having to make some adjustments to the roster, which I don't know how willing they are to do something like that. But you really got to wonder, like, what was the plan here?
So I also want to throw a number out there because I think, do you respect Fluto and his coverage of the Bruins?
Yes.
And I was reading his Athletic Bruins camp preview this morning.
I like Fluto.
The first question was Swayman's contract.
Right.
So he had a bunch of questions and he has a prediction at the end of each one. And his prediction was contract gets done. 4 years, $28 million. What are your thoughts on that?
For seven per, I think that would be a win for the Bruins. That's what I would consider that.
I consider that
a win for Sweeney, a win for the Bruins, and Swayman sort of going back on that stuff he said on the Shut Up Mark podcast about setting the market and going to business school and all that other stuff. And I think that would be below his value if he went out on the open market, too.
See, I think that's a good value deal for him. Maybe a little under, but he gets to the
classic.
Is it
a good value for him or for the Bruins?
I actually think it works for both. But the issue for him is he gets to free agency again sooner. Right?
In 4 years.
If you're the Bruins and he's your guy, as he himself said, the cap is going up. I know where the cap is going. So if you really believe he's your guy for the next 8-10 years, you want to lock him up, right? At dollars now before inflation comes with the rising cap. This is a deal where if the cap is truly rising, the cost is going to go up significantly. Right?
Yeah.
In 4 years or in 3 years when you're thinking about an extension.
The market will dictate that, yes.
Right. And if he's as good as he thinks he is, and they apparently think he is. But I thought that was, if you're a Bruins fan, I think that feels like a win. Like, for your cap, for you get your goalie for the next 4 years. And even if you're me, who has some questions as to, is this guy really a franchise goalie? Is this guy, how about we let him do the job before we anoint him the job, right? And this now, if he is, you're going to pay for it on the back end. It all depends on how you feel about it. You're going to pay on the back end if he proves he's as good as he thinks he is. But the number just struck me as low because it struck me as low on both ends, right? Like, it's only 4 years and it's only $7 million.
And it's only $7 million per, yeah.
I feel like if you had said to me 4 years and eight and a half or 4 years, 36, I would say, okay, he didn't get his 10 and they got the shorter, you know what I mean?
It would kind of,
but this feels low on both ends, low term and low dollars.
Yes. Well, according to Keefe, who I'm not ever going to doubt, not that I ever had before.
Never.
But I mean, his scoops are batting 1,000. Like, I don't remember him ever getting one wrong, and he certainly didn't get this one wrong. And he says the Bruins will not go over $8 million. So if they're capping it right at $8 million, and we're talking 4 years, 32, that's what I consider a good deal on both sides, or at least a reasonable deal on both sides. I consider 7 a big win for the Bruins and a loss for Swayman. I consider 8, if it's 6 and 10 is what they initially came to the table for, 8's right in the middle, and that's generally what you get to, you know, unless you're really trying to screw somebody over or you own a pawn shop and you're really trying to make some money off of whatever the guy brought in, you know, like that's it. Other than that, you're veering towards that anyway. Now, the Bruins insisting I can't go over 8, I think, man, have to do with their own personal finance. They don't want to have to cut anybody. Mm-hmm. They don't want to have to restructure anybody's contract who's already been sort of locked in at this point, and they only have about $8.3 million to play with, period. So if that's it and Swayman won't take the 8, then, you know, this is not going to get settled. There's not going to be some nice resolution here. He's not going to play for 7, I don't think.
And that's where I think Corposalo comes in. Like, he's making $4 million. It's not nothing.
Right.
Right. So you're adding, if he's on the roster.
Bit of an overpay.
Well, doesn't it feel that way?
And
Well, the Bruins are only paying 75% of that.
Okay, so
$3 million.
$3 million?
Bruins are paying, he's making $4 million. Bruins are only paying $3
million. So he's on the cap for $3
million. Yes.
So that's better, but it's not nothing. And
it's still too much for the worst goalie in the league.
And the guy they
brought
Allmark
up was making
second.
Five, right? Wasn't Allmark making
Allmark
five
was,
a year?
Yeah, so, 20, yeah. 20 million over 4 years.
Yeah, but at least he was a Vezina winner.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
like,
okay.
You know, he's five for him. It should be less than three for
at
the worst
least
in the
then
league.
You were cockily kind of saying you had two goalies.
But people questioned the Allmark trading at the time. I mean, how much you were going to pay for a guy? Because he hadn't won the Vezina before he came
but
here.
But he was
he
good.
Sucked in Buffalo.
So then he was worth it. So
he
now
became worth it once he got here. Couldn't
is that
you say
what
the
we're
same
counting
thing
on?
Potentially with Korpisalo? I'm just saying you're at the same point you are with Korpisalo as you were when you signed and traded for Ullmark.
Well, Ullmark wasn't the worst goalie in hockey.
He wasn't the worst, but he wasn't very good.
But this is somebody who
this
had the worst
level,
year
yes.
in last year, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I find that weird, too, because there is, in a way, I guess you have a fallback because you have an NHL goalie on the roster.
Right.
But do you want to play him? Or does that go back to goalie Bob? He's going to be a different goalie with goalie Bob in a Bruins sweater.
I don't know if goalie Bob could maybe play better than Korpisalo. Like at this point, I don't know how old he is or advanced age maybe, but I mean, this is we're talking like E-Bug status at this point. If you want to get into that, I don't understand what's happening here. I don't understand why the Bruins are acting like they have all this leverage or why they think they've somehow are going to get this guy who's been very open and not just, you know, not just with his people in the media. He's going on podcasts talking about this stuff. He went on a podcast and talked all about how this setting the mark. Like,
yep,
you should have known right then. This isn't going to be a regular negotiation. We're not going to talk this guy down to our number. Like, we're going to have to go a little above maybe what we want to do, and we're going to have to meet him where he wants to get met. And if you're coming in with 10 and they're going with 6, then you meet at 8. And if they're not doing that, then I lean towards Swayman. If they're offering him 8 and Swayman still busting their balls and going, no, 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 we're going to have to go at least 8-5, at least 9. I said 10, I'm sticking with 10, whatever it may be, then at some point they're not going to be able to do that. But if it's a number they can do, I feel like they have to make this offer or else they're not going to have a goaltender.
I think you should have known that before he went on some podcast if you're the Bruins.
Probably,
like you should have a history, a relationship, an arbitrate. Like, right, you should have a feel for where his style or mindset is. Like, I just saw that Crosby signed an extension with the Penguins. 2 years, $8.7 million per year because it's his jersey number. And, like, they clearly are in that Tim Wakefield point in their business relationship.
Can I tell you, by the way, I think that's so corny when they sign for their jersey number. Like, shut up. Like, just, you know, like, what are we doing?
Depends what your jersey number is.
I guess that is sort of
the point.
I want
99.
Point, but like, you know,
I want $9.9 million a year.
I'll take 8.7, and it's like, okay, Sydney, like, cool. Like, that's awesome. Pasternak, they do the 8.8.
You
like,
hate everything.
I think that's annoying. I just think that's annoying when they sign for their jersey number.
Pasternak at 8.8 would have been a steal.
I know, right? Yeah, I think that's just a sort of a cheesy thing.
So Belichick wasn't cheap. Wasn't he trying to get Brady to take 13? He's like, your number's 12. I'll give you one.
We're actually
more
doing
than your
you a
number.
Favor, Tom.
Right. Yeah. It's really supposed to be 12, but I'm giving you a little bump up.
So
out of
ungrateful.
Your
like, really, that is very uncool. So there you go. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. The goalie market now be affected by this, I would imagine, as it doesn't look like Jeremy Swayman is going to bend the knee right now. Can we get a little bit more from Don Sweeney here? Because he had a lot to say in this
he
press
did.
Conference. He talked about do we have the clip of him talking about the inaccurate reports, because he spoke at length about that, answered some additional follow-up questions about it as well. So here is a little bit from Sweeney earlier today. This was at 12 o'clock, high noon, with his big press conference, and it was a big one because it was going to settle the scoop off, and it went in Rich Keefe's direction. Here's Sweeney from earlier.
Go ahead and ask me a specific one. If you got knowledge of it, like that we haven't offered an 8-year deal, or we haven't, you know, we're not willing to compromise, or we haven't moved on things. Like, at the end of the day, I'm not talking about specifics. You're just not gonna get it. But, you know, the fact I did reference one, as a matter of fact. I think it's bull that somebody says I wouldn't return a call for 3 weeks. There, that's inaccurate.
Stop right there. Who said that? Was that Spittin' Chicklets? They said he wasn't returning calls for 3 weeks. It was them, right?
Yeah.
Whitney, I think.
Ryan Whitney, yeah.
Or Biz was one of those two guys, Rear Admiral or...
Which is funny because I don't think that got traction. Most people fixated on the number.
On the 625.
I don't remember people getting worked up about not returning phone calls. He just brought attention to that.
By the way, I thought that was sort of normal. That's why I didn't fixate on it. It's like, all right, well, if you're way far apart, then yeah, you're not going to answer phone calls for a couple of weeks. Like, that makes sense.
We hear players bitch about that all the time.
Yeah.
In all sports. Like, oh, it's gone cold where they haven't returned an offer in 2 months, 3 weeks, whatever. I don't necessarily. He sounded like he took that personally.
Yeah,
like that. It was sort of disrespectful to the way they do the process, or something of that nature.
Sure, and it seems like Jeremy Swayman's taken every single part of this personally, like from going
no,
to
I mean,
arbitration.
Sweeney took that.
No,
personally.
I know. I'm saying they're both taking it personally. Both sides are taking this all very personally.
When it gets personal,
yeah.
That's when it gets bad, and that's where the fact that Swayman has injected himself in this, kind of like Judon. Judon, wasn't it the same podcast?
It was the same podcast.
Yeah, Judon and the same, like, agents are supposed to be the buffer so it doesn't get personal, so it doesn't feel like they're taking shots at your value, right? Like, the agent is the intermediary, And then when the player starts talking and publicly expressing his thoughts and opinions and feelings, or in Judon's case, that he had drawn up a contract in his notes app, but he forgot his phone, so he couldn't tell us what that contract offer was, like, that's not good. There's a reason that agents exist.
Yeah. One thing you said in the clip we played in the very beginning was, at the end of the day, I'm optimistic because I think we'll find a landing spot.
Yeah.
Before December 1st. Landing spot?
That struck a lot of people. We had a texter ask about it. I heard a caller to Jones and Keefe. I took it simply a landing spot. You said negotiations, 10,
a number.
6, a landing spot in the middle, like on a financial timeline. Or
interesting
whatever.
Choice of words, though, because that's usually not how people say that. When they say landing spot, they say, you know, hopefully we can find the number, we can find a deal, we can find an agreement, we can find something. A landing spot makes it seem like...
But common ground, and ground is something you land on.
I guess you do land on ground.
I know some people took it as
trade. You land in water.
You could.
Yeah.
But I took that simply as a middle ground, common ground, landing spot in the negotiation. Others thought it was a interesting choice of words that could indicate a future trade.
Well, they're so confident in their goalie room, right? I mean, you don't...
Wait a minute. So they had two goalies and they're going to trade both?
Yeah.
And like, have none?
Well, yes, because they painted themselves into this corner now.
So they screwed up when they traded Ullmark too soon.
Probably.
Without knowing Swayman and his market and his
motivations. They knew Swayman in the market. They knew what it was. They just
thought they
could lowball him. Maybe didn't know that.
I owe it to future goalies of America to raise the bar, right? Like,
and also these guys who took me to your arbitration, who played Tuukka with a torn hip instead of me against the Islanders 2 years ago, kept putting Linus Ullmark out there. Played him in game 2 against the Leafs this past year, which made no sense, and he sucked. Otherwise, they probably would have started that dumb rotation back up there in the playoffs. And, yeah, if I'm Jeremy Swayman, I'm not feeling the love here from these Bruins, period, over the last, like, 3 or 4 years now. It's not just this offseason. Like, if I'm him, I'm trying to protect my interests. That's 100% right.
They tried to trade away your co-goalie, whatever you want to call Ullmark,
right,
last year, and they did it this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, is there any better way to show you the love than get rid of your competition? Get rid of the guy you share a job with?
Now you have to.
Oh, you're going to Giselle it?
Now you have to pay me.
I just want my husband to feel appreciated with money, straight cash, homie.
Well, yeah. If he's getting paid the same amount, then what's the difference if the other guy's there? If you're the one goalie now, you got to get paid like the one goalie.
Any contract he signs, he's going to be making more money.
Fine.
Right?
Whether it's $7 million, $8 million. Market value in the NHL.
But that is where the rubber meets the road. Because I think there is some debate as to what his market value is. How good is he? What has he proven? Are you paying for future performances? Or are you paying for what he's actually established himself as?
I think you're doing both of those things. He's still young, and he's also established himself, I think, this past season and in the playoffs, where he was very, very good. He was Conn Smythe conversation in the first two rounds. So, I mean, we're talking about someone who wasn't just the best goalie. People thought he was the best player in the NHL playoffs for two rounds. That's not nothing. I mean, they lost the series, but Florida's better than you. You know, that's the way it is, and they got a good goalie, too. I think that you should have, if you're the Bruins, at that point, it seemed like they got it. All right, this is our guy. We're trading away Ullmark. We're sticking with this guy. He's the one we're going to go to forward in the future, not just next year, but we want to keep him around, have him be our goalie for a long time. And they haven't acted that way at all. Aside from trading away Ullmark, they haven't done really anything else to show that that's what they want.
But what would that be? I mean, you're just going to give him, let's take Scoops Keith.
Give him a market contract, yes.
So, no. Forget that. Forget market, because market's not a thing. A number is an actual tangible, like,
okay.
Scoops Keith, $10 million a year. You would hand him 8 times 10?
I would do 8-8, probably. If I was going the 8 years,
and
then
he said,
that's what I'd say.
You must have a bad connection. I said 10.
Okay, so we don't have 10.
Okay, you must have a bad connection. I'm your only shot to win. I'm your only goalie.
All right.
This is my point. If the $10 million
and
is a real thing.
And if that's something that matters and they will not move off of that, then you have to free up the space. I mean, listen, that's what you have to do. You painted yourself into this corner. You can't make the bed and then not sleep in it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I was like, where are you going to land that? But no, like, that's where people talk, you know, show him what he's worth. Get, you know, respect him. Well, if he's just dug in on $10 million, and I'm just using Keefe's number. I don't know if he's dug in. I'm not reporting anything myself. I'm just saying if he's dug in on $10 million, it's easy for you to say, yeah, I think 8 would be fair. And he goes, well, I think 10 would be fair.
Right.
And if he keeps – or I would even say, so going back to Fluto's contract, it was 4 and 28, 4 and 40, $10 million a year, but we're only giving you 4 years. We're not giving you the 8 years because you said you'd do 8 and 8.
Yeah.
Okay. 8 and 8 is longer term and a bigger. I'll give you your number, but I'm going shorter term because I'm not all in. And you could benefit from that. We just talked about that. You could end up hitting free agency in a shorter period of time, prime of your career, banking on another massive contract.
Yeah, what's Swayman's number? One? That probably won't work. Can't do that.
$1 billion.
$1 billion. Yeah, $1 billion a year. Take it or leave it. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Text in the 508. You say the dumb rotation, you mean the one that got them to the playoffs 2 years in a row? Yeah, that's what got them to the playoffs, Texter. That was the only thing, was their goalie rotation. If they didn't have their goalie rotation, they never would have made it to the playoffs. Ullmark was the Vezina winner 2 years ago, first of all. And this past year, they didn't even need to have it. Swayman was fine. He could have been the main goalie the entire year, and they could have had Bussy come up and done one quarter of the games, and they still would have made the play. What are you talking about? Made the playoffs. They won, what, one round in those two times with that goalie rotation? How'd that work out?
I think you could actually argue if either of the two goalies had to play more, you may have had diminishing returns.
Maybe.
But it's not like they made the playoffs by the skin of their teeth.
They had 109 points last year.
Yeah, right. They were fine.
Both years, they were making
They were 1 point out from winning the division Florida, who won the Stanley Cup.
If you had one goalie and he wore down, and you lost a few more games, you were still making the playoffs in either of those two seasons, maybe being a top half seed in either of those two seasons.
Yeah, and you might have won more than one round if you had a guy that you knew was your number one guy for the entire season. Well,
called you a dumb
dumb back. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll speak with Alex Cora, manager of the Red Sox. Tough loss for them last night down at Tropicana Field, where they will continue sort of the death march of this season, unfortunately, as they fall further and further out of that wild card spot. We'll ask him some questions about that and look to the future. That's all coming up right after Brian tells you what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Boston Red Sox got throttled by the Tampa Bay Rays last night, losing 8-3 down in Florida. The Red Sox are now 5 games back of the final wildcard spot in the American League. That series continues tonight, and we'll have the call for the game for you right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. First pitch tonight is at 6:50 with Tanner Houck on the bump for the Sox and Ryan Pepio on the hill for the Rays. Our coverage begins at 5:50 with the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show with Cooper Boardman. Off day for the New England Patriots today as they head down to New York to take on the Jets for their Thursday night game tomorrow night. That game will kick off at 8:15, and the Patriots just released their injury report. Players who will be out already for tomorrow: Jawan Bentley, Vidarian Lowe, Sidi Sow, and O'Shane Zemenis. Questionable players are including David Andrews, Mike Owenu, Jabril Peppers, and Dietrich Wise Jr. Bruins training camp got underway today, and it seems as if a deal for Jeremy Swayman has not been finalized, as Don Sweeney spoke today and said this about contract negotiations with their goaltender.
I think it's bull that somebody says, I wouldn't return a call for 3 weeks. There, that's inaccurate. Was it written? Was it said? Was it written? I don't listen to podcasts. I said my son loves Biz, thinks he's fabulous, and he's a great entertainer, okay? But at the end of the day, they're inaccurate.
The New England Revolution take the field tonight as they host CF Montreal. That game will begin at 7:30. I'm Brian Frisoco. I'll get you caught up on what's trending again in about an hour.
All right. Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's how it ended last night. I did not know that's what that sounded like, but Joe Castiglione, in his last few games, getting drowned out by an air horn down there at Tropicana Field, and the Red Sox drowned out by the Tampa Bay Rays. A ugly loss, and here to talk about that and the remainder of the season. Looking ahead to next season is the manager of the Red Sox, Alex Cora, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and sponsored by Sherwin-Williams. The Sherwin-Williams Pro Plus program helps you manage and grow your paint business. Alex Cora, how you doing today?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. Tough loss last night. It seems like at this point in the season, you know, you're still obviously trying to win every game you can, but a series like that opening up against a team like the Rays, who you've been looking down at in the standings, that must have been a tough one in the locker room after the game.
Yeah, it was. I think the last few weeks, every loss in the locker room has been tough. It's interesting, right? We win the series against Baltimore. We get in New York, a lot of close games, but we lose 3 out of 4. We come here yesterday. We get the lead. Then Casas gave us some life, right? Like we haven't had a lead in a while, and then we gave it up right away. And then that eighth inning was tough, right? That bloop single, T.O. dies for it. We don't get it. They scored 3, and that was it.
So coming down the home stretch here, I think some may be surprised to look at the standings and say you're a sub-500 baseball team. But Bill Parcells always said you are what your record says you are. Why are you now a sub-500 baseball team? If I asked you that sort of broad question, what would your answer be?
No, that's a great question. And it started in Dodger Stadium right after the All-Star break, right? We stopped pitching. The offense was clicking. And then after that, I think the rotation turned the corner. They start doing an outstanding job, giving us a chance to win almost every night. But eventually, we disappeared. I think the defense has been inconsistent. It's been inconsistent the last 3 years, and that's something, as you guys know, that it has to be better. It bothers me, right? Because that was the type of player I was. You know, I didn't play 13 years in the big leagues because I hit. You know, I did the little things, and. I think the bullpen, has been inconsistent throughout the last 2.5 months. When that happens, you're gonna slump. You're gonna slump. And there's two things that I truly believe that makes a solid team in the big league level. Right? You got to play defense and you got to pitch. And on and off this year, we've been very inconsistent.
Alex, you said last night that you didn't think it was a lack of effort that was contributing to the slump you're in right now. Do you think you guys are playing a little tight? Is it maybe something like that? Are they tired? If it's not lack of effort, where do you see sort of the shortcomings appearing?
I think at the end of the day, it's the execution, right? We always talk about, the headlines, the homers and the extra base hits. Sometimes when things are not going your way, the walks help you out. You know, you move guys over. We actually have done a good job with men at third, less than 2 outs. In the last month, I think we were hitting like 380, 400, but not too many chances. And, the offense, as you guys know, from the get-go, there was a lot of swing and misses. We were walking a little bit. We were hitting the ball out of the ballpark. We got really hot. But then lately, that combination between strikeouts and not walking, it will put you in a bad spot, and that's where we at.
Not to relitigate everything or bring it all back up, but the weekend series, you had the Saturday fireworks with Devers and Cole and Judge and everything. You get the win on Sunday. Were you hopeful that that was going to be an ignition point for this team?
Saturday we were like, okay, here we go. You know, the Rafi put a good swing on a breaking ball, gets the RBIs. We did a lot of good things offensively. And then against Rodon on Sunday, T.O. hits the homer to get us close. But then, we didn't do much. And, we ended up losing 3 out of 4. With hope still, coming here, you come here, you win the series, or you sweep the series. you put yourself in an okay spot going into Friday, playing against Minnesota. But yesterday, that was a tough one, and it's getting tougher and tougher.
Looking ahead to the offseason, obviously, I know you still have some games to go here, but I think a lot of people are interested in the strategy that the team takes in terms of bringing up young players, investing in outside moves and things like that. Is that a process that you maybe are going to be a little bit more involved in this this time around now that you have your new contract and you and Breslow seem to be communicating a little bit better?
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking for a while about not only the now, but of course the future. And let's see what, you know, what happens in the upcoming weeks. You know, hopefully we can win a lot of games and finish the season strong. That's the most important thing. And, you know, we'll meet probably after the season, spend a few days in Boston and go over everything. And it goes from, you know, the what we're doing in Boston, what we're doing in player development, what we can do in the future, and be better at this. Honestly, from my end, very disappointed. It's been 3 years in a row that we played good until one point, and then after that we struggle. You know, we haven't finished seasons, and you know, at this level you have to finish season. You have to, and we haven't done that.
Considering that there are several prospects in Worcester right now who all are expected to be at some point making, I don't know, appearances at the major league level, do you have a relationship with any of those three, four guys? Are they people that you've, you know, at the very least had a sit down with? And have you, how familiar with their games are you?
No, I'm very familiar with their games, obviously. Haven't managed yet, but, you know, AP in double A and Trace in triple A, they have been, you know, in contact with me and talk to me about not only them, but everything that is going on. We had a really good season, double A this year, triple A play well towards the end. So that's a positive. Obviously interacted with them in spring training for a little bit. They played a few games for us. So I have a pretty good understanding who they are, not only as players, but also as individuals.
Alex, I'm assuming you're aware of Craig Breslow's comments with the Globe a couple days ago, and one of them stood out to me. I'm just going to read it real quick. When you have, quote, when you have homegrown, cost-controlled talent, it enables you to be a little bit more aggressive in looking for elite major league talent. Is that a quote that excites you, intrigues you? Do you believe in that quote? Do you think that quote could be a sort of map for this offseason?
I do believe as a group, and this is with Brez, and obviously in the past, you know, they had we have the foundation now. We were a little bit short there for a while. Obviously, you know, winning an 18, making it to a playoff in 21 is always cool, right? But I think we're in a better spot now than where we were 12 months ago as far as, like, the talent that we have, the talent that we develop in the minor leagues and also here. The up and downs of the season, you know, there's a lot of young guys that are having great seasons here, right? Willie, Hammy was great. You know, Rafaela, you know, posted and he's played center and second and shortstop. Wong, step up and he's having a good solid season. So from my end, very excited to what the future holds. Like I told you guys, you know, a while ago, there's a reason I wanted to stay here. And I do believe we are a lot closer than what people think.
He also mentioned in that story that he'll look back and maybe not necessarily regret things, but look at different decisions that could have been made. And he said you might do the same thing with pitching changes or pinch hitters. Are there any of those for you? Like, as you think about...
Oh, it is. I've been very honest since 2018 with those, you know. I let Eduardo Rodriguez face Yasiel Puig in the World Series, and that bolt is still flying, right? So, you know, I always sit down after the season and go over games and what can I do better, you know, to become a better manager, you know, the coaches, you know, what we need to improve for our guys to keep going. And that's an exercise that I always do. And looking forward to it. The hope is always to do that exercise in mid-November or early December, but there's certain years that is earlier.
Yeah. All right, time for the Sherwin-Williams question for the manager of the day. Sponsored by Sherwin-Williams, the Pro Plus program helps you manage and grow your paint business.
Hey,
yes?
Hey, you guys have a name now for the show? It's not the afternoon show anymore?
I don't know. Can you ask?
It depends on what spot you're listening to. There's some that say Arcand and Hart, but then the other ones just say WEEI Afternoon. So we're really, it's anyone's guess at this point, Alex. We're not really sure.
Okay. Appreciate you're a 500 team right now.
Yeah, basically, we're a 500 team.
They don't want to name us the same way you don't want to name, like, the pigs on a farm, you know, because they end up, right? Isn't that the same sort of thing?
Call them bacon.
Right, you don't want to end up giving them names. You get attached to them, and then who wants to see that? Anyways, the question of the day comes to us from Zach Markowski at ZM Painting. He says, we hear lots of stories about a player's offseason. What is it like for you as a manager, Alex? What's your offseason like?
A lot of time with the kids. I coach their team, the Titans, so that's a challenge. And, you know, whenever they meet me in Boston, I hop on a plane and spend a few days, you know, for meetings, all that stuff, try to connect with players, fly to the Dominican to see Rafi as one of the boys. You know, that's the most important thing, try to connect with the players. But at the end of the day, man, enjoy the family because there's a lot of sacrifices that they make for us, and it's time to give back.
Before I let you go, you mentioned something yesterday in your interview with Joe Castiglione that stuck out to me. He was asking you about using, I think, 56 players this year, and you mentioned injuries are at an all-time high. Is that anecdotal in your mind, or do you guys have numbers that injuries are actually at an all-time high for you and the league?
No, well, I don't have the numbers, but it looks that way. It looks that way. And in our case, I think it was more about flexibility of the roster and moving guys around. Obviously, losing Trevor early on, we needed, you know, some of the kids that played in the middle infield to be here. Vaughn gets hurt. It's the same thing. T.O. has been a little banged up. So from our end with the position players, it's been the case. You know, Rafi was down, Casas too. So you have to kind of like play with the roster and try to maximize this, and at the same time try to take care of players here at the biggest level.
All right, we'll leave it right there. Alex Cora, thanks so much for the time today. We'll talk to you again next week.
See you guys. Have a good one.
All right, that is Alex Cora. They're down in Tampa taking on the Rays again tonight. Another early start, 6:50 start time here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. Quick break here, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. That was a funny question.
We're a 500 baseball team.
Yeah.
You know what that means?
What does that mean?
We'd be one game ahead of his, or half game ahead of his team in the standings.
That's true. That's very true. All right, the first two episodes of the Aaron Hernandez Show on FX debuted last night. We'll review them for you next. All right. In case you needed some more Patriots media in your life, and believe me, I mean, there hasn't been enough, I don't think. Between all the Tom Brady movies, between the different various Netflix specials and the Apple TV thing.
Everything. Saturation.
There's more Patriots movies and documentaries and stuff than there are, like, Marvel Universe movies. Like, I mean, it's to the point now where I'd say they're probably, like, neck and neck. And there's the only movies that are out anymore are these stupid superhero movies. Like, that's it. And I feel like there's been more Patriots media than the Spider-Man. There's, like, all these different Spider-Men now across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
This is, like, the Patriots universe. Like, we're across the Patriots-verse.
And it's warranted, right?
Is it?
Because there was part of me that was wondering.
A little much at this point, I think.
But then I thought about it and said, you had the Super Bowls, the titles, the actual on-field. Then you had the particulars of two guys who are now generally considered the greatest quarterback and coach of all time.
Right.
You had two of the biggest football-related scandals in the history of the league.
Mm-hmm.
You had an actual Pro Bowl-caliber player murder somebody. It's kind of warranted. There was a lot that went on.
There was a lot that went on. This is the third Aaron Hernandez piece of media that I've consumed now. I didn't listen to the podcast. The Boston Globe did the Gladiator podcast,
yes.
And that's what this show that I'm talking about right now, American Sports Story on FX, Aaron Hernandez, is based off of most closely, because they had a lot more sort of in-depth descriptions of different encounters and things like that, and it's all I think more based off of that than some of these other things that you saw. Netflix had one. There's been a few other Aaron Hernandez things. Mm-hmm. And this one is the first one to have actors playing the various people you saw in the first two episodes. Did you watch any of it, by the way?
I didn't. So okay. I think that answered our question of do I care?
I did
forgot.
Not.
Well, I literally forgot it was on between here and home.
It started very late. The first episode was at 10, and they played two episodes, so it went from 10 to midnight. I stayed up and watched on the couch, and I thought I'm going to fall asleep during this, but I didn't. I was watching it, and it was pretty compelling. And I'll tell you this, they are leaning very, in the first two episodes anyway, leaning very far into the sexuality question of Aaron Hernandez. That is on front page. That's like the core of the entire story so far.
Well, isn't that the layer of this that is at this point sort of most alluring and the least dug into? Or
I'd say it's the least dug into, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody knows it's there, mm-hmm. but no one has really, like, gotten the magnifying glass and put the spotlight on that aspect of it. And I think that's probably why. That's how they're trying to. And this is like a dramatization.
Right.
Right. Like, so they can lean into that
a little
bit.
It's historical fiction, kind of. Yeah. What you call it. Yeah.
Whereas if you're doing a documentary, you can only go where you have facts.
Right.
This, you have a little bit more artistic liberty, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that probably makes sense. It's probably smart.
Yeah.
Even if it's offensive to some people.
Yeah. The first two episodes, the Patriots haven't really become part of the story yet. It's about him in Bristol, Connecticut in high school and then going to Florida. He was going to go to UConn with his brother, but he ended up going to Florida with Urban Meyer and that program, which had all sorts of stuff going on there with Cam Newton stealing the laptops. That's mentioned yep. in the episode. And that was one of like the much lesser crimes that program was committing around.
That was just a regular Tuesday.
I mean, that was really nothing. And he was the one who ended up getting cut, like, I guess a year later. There's not a very flattering portrayal of Urban Meyer. He's front and center in that in the second episode and recruiting him in the first episode. And the Hernandez family, I mean, I don't know how much they had to sign off on any of this. I'm sure some of the people are no longer with us, but some of them are portrayed very, very poorly. I mean, it's you know, the mother and the cousin and some of these other people are made to look, in the first two episodes anyway, made to look like real lowlifes is how they're portrayed, is how they appeared to be portrayed, which I'm curious about how all that went. I mean, I think that at some point, you know, you're making a show, you have to take it the way you want to take it, but these are still people who are living and breathing, and it's just
like his brother. Think about his brother who...
His brother actually got portrayed okay. Like,
but
not much happened
his family
there.
Is being portrayed a certain way, and his dead brother is being portrayed a certain way. It's,
right.
I could see how it could, I don't know, piss you off or more than that, like drive you. And I know they don't really care about that.
Yeah. He has a little girl too, you know? So like there's that. I mean, that's not whatever happens. I mean, the story's already been put out there. Like we already know all the facts for the most part about Aaron Hernandez.
But there's difference between the facts and now this, the
vagaries
or the pushing the boundaries of what is definitively salacious content in here.
Yeah. Anyway, I watched the first two episodes, watched them all the way through, and I will continue to watch this entire thing. 10 episodes, by the way, of this.
Oh, 10?
So, yeah.
Are they an hour?
They're an hour long, yeah.
But if I watch them on Hulu the next day, can I
shave them?
So
they're like 40
them?
Minutes. Yeah, if you don't have the commercials going, then it's 40 minutes. I don't know if you pay for Hulu or not, but, you know.
I have Hulu. I must pay for it. What do you mean?
Well, you can get the Hulu with no ads.
Oh, I don't know what I have.
If you have Hulu and there's a way you can get Hulu with no ads. I don't know. I don't pay for it. I know when I watch Hulu, I get the ads. But either way, I was watching on my DVR last night.
So thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up. I'm into it.
Thumbs way up?
Not way up because the guy doesn't look like Aaron Hernandez.
That really bothers you.
I mean, yeah. Like, he's a good actor. I guess he was like some Broadway star. This guy, the guy who was in what's the Sharks versus the Jets? What's that one? West Side Story. He was
okay.
in like West Side Story. And there's a bunch of other like Broadway people in it, which fine. But, you know, he doesn't look like Aaron Hernandez. He does, I think, sort of capture his persona pretty well. But he doesn't look like him. So it's hard.
I'd rather have the persona than he looks like him.
Well, I'd like to have a little bit of both, I guess, if you had to pick one or the other.
Maybe they didn't have somebody.
Clearly they didn't, if this is the best guy. There is football, and the football scenes are... They kind of fluctuate. Some of them are good. Some of them I watch, and I don't think I'm watching a show. Some of them you're like, these aren't football players. Like, that was, you know, this was not. And you can tell some of it's, like, very obviously green screened and things like that. And I don't know. In general, I think they do a pretty good job with it, with the football scenes. And you can shoot it in a way where you kind of take the spotlight off the fact that these aren't pro football players actually going out there
right.
and doing it. But in general, you know, I was aware I was watching a show a few of those times. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it. Remind me. Keep reminding me.
All right. I certainly will.
Because I think it's going to get interesting, too. Because, for example, the family can react a certain way, but there's not much they can do about it.
Right.
I'll be interested to see how Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, the Patriots, people around him on a Patriot level are portrayed if they take any liberties there or right. get any, you know, sort of creative with, for example, Belichick meeting him, what, in Indy and then the flop house and this sort of right. whole, that whole interaction. Because, I mean, that will be worth talking about for us.
I bet you there's going to be a lot of that, and it's not going to, the Krafts and they're not going to like it. Although, something tells me.
But isn't FX, is it still his guy? Is
Who's
FX
guy?
Not?
Ryan Murphy?
Murdoch? Didn't Rupert Murdoch own FX?
Yeah, right. I think
and isn't
it's
he Robert's boy?
Subsidiary. Well, that's what I was just going to say. Like, if Robert can get them not to tell any jokes at the roast,
right.
then he could probably get them to leave him alone in this thing. But I don't know. I don't know what sort of liberties this show has. I feel like, you know, they went pretty hard after Donald Sterling, you know, like these billionaire guys. We'll see.
Yeah, but is Rupert Murdoch tight with Donald Sterling?
I feel like all those guys are tight with each other. Well, Donald Sterling's gone now, right? But, like, yeah, I feel like they're
I'm just saying,
tight with each other, you know?
I bet you Robert made a call to Murdoch.
Probably
like,
hey,
did. Hey, can we clean this up a little
bit? I'll put you in the dynasty. You got to talk about how great I am.
Right.
But I'll put you in the dynasty.
I forgot
so
about
long
that.
As, you, as long as you give me a break here on the
Didn't
on
he
this
open
Aaron
an episode?
Hernandez show. Yeah, he had like, the first about
face
it.
You saw was his.
About how he's the greatest businessman of all time, right?
I bet you Robert will be taken care of in this documentary.
Probably right about that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got more to get to here. Ramondre Stevenson going to be leaned on heavily, it seems like, going forward this season. And how sustainable is that? Running backs are getting hurt all around the NFL. Mike Reese has a take on that, and we will get to all of that with your Patriots thoughts next.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.